thought that you're not involved.
We skipped over looking at files, and so I want to look at those quickly. If you go back to 120 and look under CIS 120, and we started this last week, I think. I had a project write dot text under CIS 120, and I was just kind of doing the history of these. So if you go back to that, to CIS 120, and go in under programs, wait a minute, 120. Go in under programs, there is a project write text and a project and a read project. And those are the two that I'm going to look at first. So, write project.txt is the one I'm opening first. And this is just a very simple write. And they have made it a little more complicated as time has gone on. But if you want to write a quick and easy file, this version still works, and it's a nice way of doing it. So they start out at the top, and they say, dim data write, and I called it data write. You could dim whatever. I called it data write, meaning that I'm going to write the data. Dim data write is a string, and have it that I have a text ID number dot text. So I'm going to take whatever is in text ID number dot text, and I'm going to concatenate it with a comma, and then I'm going to take whatever is in text name dot text and concatenate it with a comma, and then take whatever's in text major.txt and concatenate that with the VBCRLF. And a VBCRLF is carriage control line feed. So let me go and find that, because we just did it in the, as a matter of fact, we just finished looking at this in that class. In VB120, but I just want to go over that again. So if I look at it, this is the file that we created this morning in my 120 class. Okay, so you can see that I typed in 112 in the text ID number field. I typed Linda French in the text name field. I typed CI in the text major field. It wrote them all out with commas, and then the VBCRLF moved it down a line. So I wrote them all out with commas. actually that didn't write it up, it set it to write. The next line actually does the write. And this is a copy and paste line. My computer files from that's copy and paste. And then what you have to do that isn't copy and paste is you have to put in the name of the file that you want to call it and where you want to put it. So I said I want to put it on the E drive, and I want to put it in a folder called VB120, and I want to call it students.s17a.txt. So it wrote that file. And I have to tell it also use data write, which is the thing that I defined up there. So I'm telling it to use data write when it goes ahead and writes the file. So whatever I dimmed up there, I have to put in down here. And then I close the file. I close out of the program. So the next one is going to then read this file. So I'm saying close Inclea. And I'm going to close this and open the read. And the read in the read, I copy and paste this top line, which you probably can't even agency. But the key thing is, this is the same name and the same address that I used when I wrote it. Because if it's not, it's not going to be able to find it. So it's the same name and the same address as when I wrote it. So I wrote studentS17A.txt into the folder VB120 on the E drive. So that at the top there is telling me where the file is. Then I have on the program, if you look at it, okay, so here is the program, and when I click read, it reads the first record. So that was the first record that I made this morning. So down here, when I click the read button, it says dim the current row as a string. So it sets up the current row. If not my reader end of file, then the current row is the fields that I'm reading from my reader. And my reader was dimmed up at the top. And then I say, okay, take current row zero. And you know enough to know the current row zero is the first row. So it says, take. Current row zero, assign it to text ID number. Current row one, assign it to text name. Current row two, assign it to text major. So it goes in, and notice down at the bottom where it says delimiter comma, that delimiter comma tells it that there is a comma separator between them. Okay, way down at the bottom here, it says on fault load, tell it that the delimiter is comma, which means that's the separator. And so it knows that the comma separator, and so current row zero means up to the first comma. Current row one means up to the next comma. And current row two means up until the end, which is the VBCRLF that I put in. So I read the records, and those are the records that I'm reading. And I read through them, and then after the last record, when I click read again, it comes up and says end of file reached. Because here I tested it. Not end of file, do this, else put out end of file reached in a label that I set up to receive it. So if I click after the last person, it just simply says end of file reached, as opposed to crashing because there's no more data. Okay. So that's the way that I covered it in 120. Whoops. Because that really is a very easy way of looking at this. Then the stream, which is what your book talks about. Did I just close Visual Basic? Wasn't that clever? Okay, so the next one is the stream, and that is under the examples in Chapter 9. There's a read and a write. And this is just a later version of this. And basically, I've got three buttons here that I played with variations. But the main way is doing it is up at the top. So on this one, I was kind of following some of the stuff the book did. And I've got create a file. And on this one, it is coming back and saying, enter the file name. Okay, so I can enter the file name of the file that I want to create. And I am telling it that this is a stream write. I'm using what they call a stream write. And it comes back and it says, okay, create the file using the name that I just typed in. And then it says, okay, up at the top, and this is kind of the way I think the book did it, or I think that's why I did it this way. Instead of testing for end of file, they said set up a constant called the number of courses, make that 3. And so they're only going to do it for 3 times. So I can create 3 records. So down under the try, it says, okay, go ahead and create the file using the name you just gave me. For the count equals 1 to the number of courses I entered there, enter the course number, enter the course name, and write out a line with the number and write out a line with the name. Otherwise, close, when you're done, close the courses after the for loop, close, and go out. And then I did it with a comma delimiter, and then I did it with a, I think, a more realistic way of looking at it, which was enter another record, yes or no. And I did it until the end of file play equals yes. Okay. So I went through on that last one and basically said, okay, do while end of file flag equals yes. And if they, at the bottom, I said end of file flag equals input box, enter another record Y or N. If they entered the Y, then it took in another record. If they entered an N, it didn't. And this one I put comma delimiters in just because I wanted to. So I wrote a field, wrote a comma, wrote a field, wrote a comma. Because there are some things I might want to do that I might want to have a comma. So I put those in. Okay. Write writes a, basically what is a field. Write line is what you use at the end when you want to, when you're basically saying that's the end of the record. So you do write line when you mean it's the end of the record, and you do write when you're just writing it. So in all of these examples, I had the write and then the write line because I was putting them on the same line. Up at the top, I did all write lines. In the first example, which is more like the books, I did all write lines, so they write them on separate lines. So those are just a couple of ways to set it up. And very frankly, that way that I showed you first is so much easier. So I, you know, okay, fine, you need to look at this, but the other way, if you want to create a quick and dirty file, is a lot easier. So if I run this, and I say create a file, and it says enter the file name, and I'm going to call it in class spring 17, and say okay. So I've told it now what the file name is. And I've said okay. And then I'm up at the top, so I should have that up open. And then I say enter the course number, so we'll go with 120 logic, 156 VB, 159 What did I just do? Okay, I think I'm going to do this again. Because I didn't come out even, and I should have come out even, so I've clearly lost track at some point. End of the file name in class 2. Okay. End of the course number 120. End of the course name logic. End of the course number 156. End of the course number name VB. End of the course number 159. End of the course name PHP. And then it stops. So at this point, the file has been created. Okay? And again, I stopped it here with a constant where I put the 4 in there. I think it's a lot better to do it the way I did in the bottom example, which is yes or no. You want to enter another one? Yes or no. And I'll keep going until they say no, they don't want to enter another one. So then I am going to exit. And the next one is a file open project, and it is read. And this one I said read a file. And it says enter the file name, and in class 2 is what I called it, right? So I'm saying enter the file name, and it's in class 2. File cannot be read. Oh, goody. Oh, that's because I have to move it. I wasn't using whole addresses, so I have to move the file.
When you wrote it?
Huh?
When you wrote it, you didn't use the whole address?
I didn't. I just gave it a name. The way it was set up, I just gave it a name. And so what I've got, and I'd forgotten this, because we were actually going to look at this a week or so ago. If you look at my program, so I'm on, I think, on the E drive. We'll find out in a minute. Chapter 9. Notice that it got written. No, wrong one. That is not what I wanted to do. My apologies. I wanted to go in through this, right? And I want to look at that. And there's in class 2. So that's the one that I wrote. And it's in the folder, in bin, in debug. Okay, so there's in class 2, which is the one that I wrote. The other one is the one that I wrote and thought I got off. So in class 2 is sitting there, okay? So it is expecting it to be in the bin debug. So what I've got to do is take this and copy. And then go over into chapter 9, read, and go into the, yeah, I did it again. Go in here, go into the bin, go into the debug, and paste it. So now I am in class 2 there, okay? And again, what you'd have to do is have it give you an entire address if you wanted to. But what I'm doing is I stored it with the file. Okay?
You could have it read it where it was originally?
Yes, but I'd have to give it the address, and it would have to include the bin slash debug and the whole business. So usually people would, when they did the write, you could put a whole address in. And then when you do the read, you can put a whole address in. But this one wasn't set up this way, and I was kind of following the book on it. So now I'm in the, where am I? I'm in read. And I should start, read the file in class 2. And there it read it. Okay? So as soon as I move the file over, it read it. And I screened out some, commented out some of the different things that I had in there. But you can see the file, and it did a right line because the way they had me do it in the book was a right line at the beginning. And so right line means each of these got written on a separate line. Now in the later ones that I did, afterwards, other buttons that I clicked, I used right and then right and then right line only for the last field. And that meant they all went on the same line. Because I did right and then right and then right line. Whereas this one, the top button did right line, and so they rated on separate lines. They have made this, in my humble opinion, far more awkward and far more cumbersome, because now when I read, I have to do a read line. And they've just made it much more cumbersome. Because now I'm doing reads, bringing all the things in the read line. And that earlier way of doing it was just a lot cleaner and easier to work with. But for some reason they decided to, in my humble opinion, mess it up. People don't create files much anymore. So that's one reason why it doesn't much matter. You create a file as a temporary storage area that you just want to put something on clean and dirty, you know, quick and dirty. As opposed to in a database. You know, your significant data is all stored in a database. One of the, as far as I'm concerned, weaknesses of Visual Basic is how cumbersome they make the data stuff. They just don't make it easy to handle data. So what I'm going to look at next, and then next Tuesday, we will go back to looking at the wizard a little bit more. And next Tuesday, we're also going to be starting to look at web pages. So that's the last topic. But next Tuesday, we'll go back and look at the web things. But what I want to do now is show you the code that you can write without using the wizard. I like it a lot more. So if you go in and CIS 156, under examples, down at the bottom of the page, there are these ADO using Access 2010. Okay, so these happen to be using Access. I have played around with this with MySQL, SQL Server and Oracle. And they both work in a similar way. Okay? So what you've got here is a database. And I did these in Access, so I haven't redone them in something else. But we're going to look at them in Access. So I had created an Access database. That's right, I've got to get out to do that, haven't I? I keep forgetting that they put Visual Basic under CIS software as opposed to just click on it. I have no idea why they decided this was easier, but anyway. Okay, I've already downloaded these, and they're in VBADO on my computer. Okay. Okay, donor form is probably one of the easier ones, so I'm going to look at that first. Donor form SQL. Now again, this is written without the wizard. So I am actually writing the code. Okay? So, since I'm actually writing the code, this is the part that I need to make the connection. And I don't know why this is not showing. Can you bring it up on your screen, because it's not very clear up there. All day today, it's been that kind of graying stuff out, and it's just hard to read. So in the routine called form donor SQL load, which means this is the one-time code that happens when I load, I set up dim current path as string environment current directory, which means that it stores it in itself. Okay, it stores it in itself. System environment current directory means store it in the current directory. If I want to put a path in there to someplace else, like we were just talking about, then I can put the whole path in right there instead of current path. But if I want to put it, have it put it where it wants it in its, in this folder for this program, then I just tell it the system environment current directory. And then I use that down here, and we'll talk about this down here. But if I wanted a whole path, I could put the whole path in there. Or for that matter, I could put the path up under current path and still use the word current path. And I could put the path up under there. So now what I'm telling it is I'm using the provider is Microsoft ACE, OLEDB, and ACE, et cetera, et cetera. You know, when we went in on last Thursday and we picked SQL Server in the wizard had us pick SQL Server, that would have been where I could have gotten this. Okay, that's a choice that used to come up. Microsoft ACE, I think they've changed it now, but it still works here. I think they've got a slightly different name on it. But Microsoft, that tells me I'm using Access. Okay, the one we chose told us we were using SQL Server. This one tells me I'm using Access. And then you concatenate that with the data source equals the current path. And again, you can put the current path in there and then slash the name of the database. Okay, so now I'm putting the name of the database in there. So if I am writing my own, I can basically copy and paste those particular lines and just change the name of the database and I'm fine. Okay? So then I put out a message box to show the current path and the message box to show the connection string so I can take out the comments on those. And if I run this, that's showing the path. Okay, so the current path that it now has is it's going to go to VBADO, to the donor form, into the program, into bin, into debug. So it's giving you the path that it would follow. So I'm just showing you what system, environment, current directory got that path. Okay? Because this is the current program I'm writing, and it's going to the folder for that current program. I'm putting it in the bin in the debug. Now, if you want to store it in your flash drive instead, that's fine. You just have to either make current path up here, the path to your flash drive, or take that line out and make current path here. Have the address. Okay. And then the next one says, okay, now show the connection string, and it shows the connection string. Okay, and I didn't mean to make that go away, but I did. Okay, so I will run that again. Okay, so there's current path, because I said message box, current path. There's connection string. So connection string is showing the whole thing about the provider equals, the data source equals, and then going all the way across, and inside debug is going to be donor ACCDB. So it's showing you the entire connection string, okay, that it's going to go through in order to be able to find this. And then the next thing I'm doing is I'm going down and doing a select, and I put a couple of different things in here, but the one that is actually running isn't cleaned out, is I said select ID number, DNAME, from donor 2000, where DID number is greater than all twos. So I am telling it to go in and get those records. Okay? So I'm coding the select statement, telling it what records I want to see. So I've told it where the database is. The database actually has multiple tables in it. I am now telling it to go into the database, go to that table, and pull out records that meet that criteria. Hi.
Hello.
So it's going in and pulling out records that meet that criteria. Okay? So that again is the message box, and that's just showing the select string. And now it's showing the first person. Okay? So after I put in the select, the next thing I have to do is dim something that they call the data adapter, and that's what I always use. Dim the data adapter as a new OLEDB data adapter, blah, 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 blah. Okay, basically that is Microsoft language for the fact that they are going to now connect the connection string with the database. So the SQL string that I want is the select. This connects it to the connection string, which is where I can find the database. So they're pulling together the SQL that I want and the location of the database table. And that's what this line does, is it joins together this, what I want to get and the connections. Okay, we're in under ADO stuff, under my examples for the 2015. Okay. So, that's what it is making the connection now. Then it says, okay, now fill donor DT. Okay. So up at the top, I define donor DT as a new data table. So that's now a data table. And so that's the data table that I'm going to process. So it now says the data adapter fillet donor DT, and then I can dispose of the data adapter that's not required. And then I say fill the text boxes. So what I've said there in the fill is I've basically taken the data adapter, which connected the two, and it's now got the data, and the data is in donor DT. That fill is kind of a misleading way, but it's basically saying that I'm filling donor DT with the data that the data adapter is pointing to. The data adapter has got the connection string, which shows me where the database is, the SQL, which shows me what I want to get. And I'm now filling that donor DT, which is a new table, with the combination of where the database is and where the SQL is. Then in the fill text boxes, I am saying, okay, now text DID number should have the ID that was gotten when I went out to the database with the select. So I'm saying the DID number, okay? So I am putting into the table, which is donor DT, on the row that I'm currently in, and the row index DID number, and that would mean that it is putting it into the taking the stuff from the first record on the table and putting it into that text box. So it's going in, taking the first record that meets this criteria and putting it into the text box. Rows is all of the rows, row index, it keeps track of, and we'll show you, you'll see above where it does that, or where actually we do that. But row index tells me what record I'm in. So all of the rows, the one that row index is pointing to, get the ID number and put it into the donor DT. The ID number that's in the donor DT and put it into the text box. Let me say that one more time, since I messed up. Okay. So the current row is rows modified by row index, gets me the current row. Take the DID number on that current row, and it's the current row on the donor DT table, which we filled. So take the row, the current row on that table, and take the field called DID number and put it into the text box for the DID number. And then in that same row, get the name and put it in the text box for the name. This I understand. The wizard, not so much. This I understand. But pushing buttons for the wizard, I don't do well on. Questions? This is also hard to understand at the beginning. So ask questions if you have them. Up at the top, and then we'll come back to questions. Up at the top, I have the button read next. Okay? So every time I push this button, read next, it gets the next person in the table. And I actually have it set so there's just going through them over and over and over again. But it's going through to the next person. And the way I have them set up that it's going over and over and over again is if you look up here, I'm saying, okay, row index. If row index is less than donor DT rows count minus one. So it's counting how many records were put into the donor DT table when I filled it. Okay, how many records went into the donor DT table when I filled it? So if the row index and row index is defined up there under the class. If row index is less than the count, then add one to row index and go to the fill. So that's how row index keeps growing. Add one to row index and go to the fill. Okay? Else, set row index back to zero and do the fill. So that's why I'm cycling through them. If I didn't want to do that, I'd have to have a different else, and I would not do the fill boxes. I'd put out a message that says I'm identified. Okay, so again, looking at what this program is, I've got a load event. And the load event sets up the path to the database, sets up the data that I want to get from it with the SQL, links those two together in the data adapter, and then takes the donor DT, which I define as a data table, and fills that with the data that comes from that database via the SQL statement. So it fills the donor DT. So that's a one-time thing that happens at the beginning. And then it goes and does fill text boxes. And the fill text boxes is done with the first record. Okay. So that again, okay, watch what happens when I run this program. I'm going to stop it. And then I'm going to run it. Notice there's a record there before I click the read button. That's because I put the fill text boxes down here. If I hadn't put that there, then it would wait for me to click the read button before it would fill the text boxes. But I told it after it finished loading to fill the text boxes. Okay, so let's take that away. And if I come down here and comment that out and then start, it comes up empty. So if I comment that out, it comes up empty. Then when I click on read next, it goes and reads the record.
And the read next will go through this. And every time it goes through, it increases the index.
And then it goes out and does the fill text boxes. Okay, so then it goes and does the fill text boxes. But I put the fill text boxes in below the load,
which meant that the first record got loaded in, got brought up as part of the load function. So this is a one-time thing. And what that does is it establishes where the database is, establishes what I want to get out of the database, and then links them together and fills a table that I've created, an internal table called data table. It's a new data table called donor DT. So it goes out, gets the data, fills that.
Yes, no, maybe? Does it make sense? John, you've been frowning the whole time.
I just can't get it to work on my computer. There's something wrong, some kind of issue with the...
Mine's is doing it too.
Yours says what?
It says the Microsoft.ace.ol, all that provider is not registered on the local machine.
Yeah, that's, I think I mentioned this last week, that, and it's funny, that somebody tried it here, and I thought it ran all right. But maybe I just tried it up here.
Yeah, mine's ain't doing it here.
Okay. They would have to download something to make it work then, so just look at it. That's the problem I have. It's the difference, I believe I'm remembering right, it's the difference between 64 and 32 machines. And
is that why you have two different files to download, or?
No, it was just, I don't know, no. No, this one is not working at home until I download the piece of software. And I've got a computer at home that it is working on, so I didn't bother. But my main computer is up to 64, and it's not working. So apparently you guys are connected to one thing and I'm connected to another up here. Because it's working for me, it's not working for you. If you
did, working.
You've got it working?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm working on that.
Oh, then that's why. If you work here, I think you might work.
Mm-hmm.
Try it on our machine. It's on our machine, it's working.
Yeah.
Okay, because I thought I did. I didn't know this to be on the laptop. So you probably got the same problem. You've got a later machine, and so you'd have to download the software if you wanted to run. Or you can conversely just try it here. As I said, on my laptop it's working, on my desktop it's not, and my desktop is more comfortable, so I use that more than my laptop. But do you understand the concept?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anybody got questions about the concepts?
Where are they reading the file names from? Just
reading which? Where did these files come from?
Yeah.
Right here. If you go to my website, click on examples.
I met Robert Brooks.
Oh, it's a database table. It's an access database.
Oh,
it's in the bottom folder in that.
It's an access database that's out there. Yes, under the debug, it's
DonorACCDB.
And if you open DonorACCDB, it has a table called Donor 2000, and that's what it's reading from. Okay. So it's reading from that table on that database. And if you want it to work, guys, you're going to have to use BCC, apparently. Okay, so that is, do you understand the concept? That's what I want to get across.
Just one more quick question. Data source equal to the and current path, ampersand.
Right, the current path is defined as system environment current directory. And if you run this, I put in message boxes to show. So if you run this, that is current path.
So current path is at the E drive, because mine's on the E drive. BBA.
And the dash skips right to the bin and into the debug folder.
Right, well, it follows this path to get there. And bin debug, and so it's right in there. So the phrase system environment current directory means the current directory for this program. And the current directory for this program is traditionally in the bin debug. Although every once in a while it just puts it in the bin or puts it outside, so you really have to kind of look at it.
Okay.
So then the next one shows the current path, and that includes the name of the database and the fact that it's an access database and all that. Okay. And there are the ones, and we can go through those And there they are. Okay, so there are the records. Now, if we look at other things, it's very similar. So I'm going to close this, and I'm going to open the one that has something to do with a grid. Not tau grids, which is supposed to be two, but just VB grid 12. Okay, so this one I put up a grid, and if I start it, there's the grid. So that's the data that that particular one is reading. This one is using a different database. It's using the Books Online Access database. Okay. And this goes through all the same stuff that I just went through. Setting up the current path. In this one, since I only had one paragraph, I didn't book DT right within the load. Because on the grid, I'm not doing any processing, I'm just loading it to look at. So I put the dim book DT down as a new data table right inside the load. And then I set the current path, I set the connection string, I set up SQL ST string as select everything from book. So I wanted everything from the table called book, which is in book 09, the database called books 09. And then I said, okay, now link together with the data adapter, the SQL with the location. Fill book DT with the data. And then I put up a grid and I said, okay, the data source for this grid is going to be book DT. And so it took all of the records and put them in the grid. Okay, so that one's fairly straightforward, I think. Oh, this is just, this one is showing a slightly different way to handle things. Trying to decide if I want to do this. The data binding is a little different.
Okay, so this is started out at the front. And it's got my books on nine, it's combined and everything. And then it says, okay, we're going to set up a currency manager that tells me what is current. And the currency manager,
I'm binding to the book table. So I've got the book table, book DT. I've got that set up. I am now binding to it a currency manager.
And the currency manager will then keep track of where I am inside the table. So, you know, when I did it, I did row index and I kept track of where we were. If I use a currency manager, it keeps track of where I am.
And so I set up something called CUR manager as a currency manager. And I attached it or bound it to the book DT table.
And that means that it will keep track of where we are. And I set the position to start out at zero.
While I'm into binding, the filling of the text boxes can also be done with the phrase binding. So I'm binding the field to the text box.
So instead of putting it into the text box, I'm binding it to the text box, which means I'm telling it that it belongs to that text box, and whatever I'm on currently should be put in that text box. So I'm saying add this text to the book DT, and the thing I want to add is this one. Okay?
And if you compare this to the other one, which I probably should have left open, the data binding is just a slightly different way of saying it. And then I can code, using the currency manager, the possibilities to click forward and backward. And we'll go and compare it. But currency, so those are just some of the ways that you can work with data in the database. And as I said, we're going to go back and look at the wizard, but we tried the wizard already, and hitting the 26 different commands to get the... If I come in here, notice I set up a data set. And I have to, the data set is going to have multiple tables in it. A data set can have multiple tables. A data table can only have one table. So now I come down to this one. So I can either refer to it as donation 2000, or I can refer to it as one. And down here, when I'm talking about donor 2000, R, I can refer to it as zero. So what I did is I filled the grid at load time. And let me run it so you can see how it works. I filled the grid. Come on, you can do it. I filled the grid with everybody on there. And then I took the current record. Okay? So the grid got filled from here. The records got filled from there. Where I said, go to the first row with the DID number and the D name. Okay, so this information came from donation. From donor. The information in the grid came from donation. And I have the code in there that allows me to go for next, previous, and it also allows me to match. And match is going to have to wait till next Tuesday. But if I hit next, it goes to the next person. If I hit previous, it goes back a person. So that moves through. Now if I hit match, only those records come up.